It is a championship weekend in college football, of course. It all got started yesterday in the Pac-12. Not that that really plays a role in the college football playoff, but it does in terms of who's going to the Rose Bowl. And Washington wins a low-scoring game over Utah, a defensive touchdown, the only touchdown in the game, wins it 10-3. For more on the rest of championship weekend, which starts with Texas and Oklahoma in about 20-25 minutes, we're joined by Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Chris, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing well. It should be a fun day of college football championships. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. First, before we move forward, let's go back to last night. Not much, you know, in a world of offense these days, there was really very little of it between Utah and Washington. A little controversy at the end of the play. Maybe no pass interference called on that last game. Big deal. What did you think? There's been a lot of controversy with Pac-12 officials all year. What did you make of that game and the end of the Pac-12 season?
Yeah, I mean, not even just this year. Really, every year it seems like. As for that specific play, it was close. I mean, you know, I don't think it was so obvious that it was a terrible miss, but I also don't think it would have been. I also don't think it would have been a big deal if they did call it. Bigger story is there is no offensive touchdowns. I mean, 10-3, there was an interception and some field goals, some blocked field goals. So just really an ugly game. And the best way to overcome any complaints you might have about officiating is to play well. And neither team really did last night.
We just mentioned before the first game of the day today, or the first, I mean, there's more than one at noon, but the game that people are most interested in noon Eastern is Texas-Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. Before we get into the specifics of that game, do you like, you know, the Big 12 just has one conference, and I know it's not as big as some of the other conferences, so you'd have to figure it out, but do you like the way the Big 12 does it, where it's just, hey, one conference, top two teams play, or do you prefer the divisions the way the other leagues do it?
It's kind of, they have both, and it's weird. I like that everybody in the Big 12 plays everybody else. Yes. No other conference, major conference, Power 5 conference does that. But then adding the championship game where one plays two, that sort of makes that much more difficult for who they have in there. I think the conference championship game works when you have divisions. Big 12 doesn't need a conference championship game, and in the past, the Big 12 has knocked itself out of the national championship in the Big 12 championship game more than other conferences, and it's possible that could happen here. An Oklahoma win and they're in, a loss and they're out. So I don't really know why the Big 12 plays each other twice. I think that makes it a lot more difficult for everybody.
Yeah, you just said Oklahoma wins, they're in. Ohio State fans will hear that and get nervous. You know, I work in Cleveland during the week, and I said that I think Oklahoma's going to get in with a win unless maybe Ohio State just completely demolishes Northwestern and Oklahoma's win is close and maybe feels a little lucky. Do you think they win with and they're in no matter what?
Well, the other caveat here is that Alabama needs to beat Georgia.
Sure,
to knock
sure.
Georgia
yes.
down. If Georgia yeah. wins, then Alabama's in this mix as well. But if Alabama wins, I think Oklahoma's in either way, just because they will have avenged their one loss was 3-point loss to Texas on the last second field goal. If they win today, they will have beaten Texas and avenged that loss. Ohio State has a bad 29-point loss to Purdue, and they're playing an 8-4 Northwestern team that isn't getting a lot of respect. So I don't know if anything they do against Northwestern will matter. That said, it was 2014 when we saw Ohio State jump a Big 12 team. So, it wouldn't be unprecedented.
Who do you obviously Tom Herman has a great record as an underdog against ranked teams. He's kept a lot of these games close. Do you expect it to be another close game, and do you expect Oklahoma to win?
I do expect Oklahoma to win, and I do expect it to be a close game. Tom Herman, you're right. He has a really good record as an underdog, but the flip side is that his record when he's a favorite is not as good as you would think. So, but yeah, it should be a fascinating game. It's going to be interesting having the Texas and Oklahoma fans together in the stands when we're so used to it being split down the middle at the Cotton Bowl. So that should be a pretty interesting environment in Arlington coming up here in a few minutes.
We're talking with Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Chris, UCF with a new quarterback will be playing Memphis. at 3:30 Eastern this afternoon. If this unlikely scenario happens where Alabama just crushes Georgia and Oklahoma and Ohio State lose, would UCF get in if with their new quarterback they look like the same team?
If Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State all lose and UCF rolls Memphis, I think UCF should get a chance
yes.
in there, but I don't think they will. I don't think there's any respect from this committee. I think one reason Michigan is ahead of them right now is a buffer. Simply the fact that UCF does not have any marquee wins, or especially in the non-conference, I don't think it's going to be hard for me to think the committee will do that. I think they would put a two-loss team in there over them, probably, although I don't agree with that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I feel like most of the country in that scenario, and I think we'd all be surprised if all three, you know, well, not Georgia, but if Oklahoma and Ohio State both lost, especially Ohio State, would be pretty surprising. But if it did happen, it just seems like I think most of the country, unless you're a fan of one of those specific teams, would want to see UCF in there and find out, because a lot of people are dismissive and think they have no chance to win. And, you know, if they went in there and even if they lost to Alabama but played a good game and stayed relatively close, I think that would do a lot for the non-Power 5 teams maybe going forward. What do you think?
I agree. And I will say if Mackenzie Milton was healthy for UCF, I think that their case in that scenario would be boosted. I think his injury and departure probably gives the committee another built-in reason to leave them out. But right, I a couple of years ago, Houston beat Oklahoma and they got up to 5 or 6 in the rankings. And I do believe if that Houston team had gone undefeated, they would have had a really good shot at the playoff. Boise back in the BCS days would have had a shot in this system when they were beating Virginia Tech and Georgia and teams like that. UCF just hasn't done that. I think they need to schedule neutral site or road games against these big power teams if those teams are open to it happening. That's the other thing.
Right.
Teams don't want to come to Orlando, so UCF has to figure out some ways to get some games on their schedule. I think they are. They've got Stanford down the road. It's something I think they know they need.
What team, you know, Alabama plays Georgia. I mean, Georgia's 11-1. They're 7-1 in the SEC. They're at home. I mean, it's games in Atlanta, but it's more, you know, neutral, I guess. And yet Alabama's still a 12-point favorite. Is there anybody or which team has the best chance to beat Alabama?
You mean in the country?
Yeah, in the country, yes.
I think it's Clemson. I think Clemson is the most complete team outside of Alabama, although, you know, South Carolina did put up, I think, more than 500 yards on Clemson's defense last week, which was very surprising. But I think with Clemson's defensive line, what they're able to do in the trenches, I think they'd be able to match Bama. And it would probably be a high-scoring game because both have really good, talented young quarterbacks in Tua and at Clemson. So I think it's Clemson. I think my pick right now is we're going to have an Alabama-Clemson for the fourth year in a row and this time in the national championship again.
Ohio State, obviously playing in the Big Ten championship game. You talked about it. You think if Oklahoma wins, they're going to be in. Ohio State hoping to, after that win against Michigan, they've been such an enigma all season, Chris. I mean, they were terrible against Purdue. They did not play, against Michigan State, they played great defense and special teams, but they couldn't. Their offense was terrible. Against Maryland, their defense was pathetic, and if it wasn't for a terrible throw on a two-point conversion by Maryland's quarterback, they would have lost that game. They didn't play great against Nebraska or Minnesota, and then they just go and destroy Michigan. How do you explain Ohio State's season?
I guess I'd explain it is that you know Ohio State's always going to play their best against Michigan because that game means more than anything else to them. I don't know how to explain the other games. I don't know how to explain Purdue or Maryland or everything else. There are problems with this Ohio State team. The defense, the linebackers specifically, they've given up a lot of big plays, more than they've given up in a long, long time. Out of nowhere comes that 62-point game, the most points Michigan has ever allowed in the regular season. So is the Ohio State team we see today going to be that team? Did the switch flip, or are they going to go back to what they were before? My inclination is that it was a switch flip and that Ohio State will play really well today, especially if they know they need to win big to have a chance at the playoff.
Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald, while not getting a ton of respect, have done a good job of being in every game, right? They lost by 14 to Duke was their biggest loss. And the two best teams they played, Notre Dame and Michigan, they lost by 3 and 10. And even their wins have all been fairly close. They seem to stay in it with every game. But you think in this one they probably won't?
Yeah, I mean, defensively they have been pretty strong. Offensively, they've not been very good at all. They were up, I think it was 17-0 on Michigan, and ended up blowing that game. And right. Akron was a game they gave away in the final seconds, although it shouldn't have been that close to begin with.
That's right.
But I think there's just too much talent. I think on this stage, Ohio State has been here before plenty of times a year ago. While Northwestern is kind of new to this whole thing, and you know, Northwestern is certainly happy to be there, and I think Ohio State knows that there's more to play for.
If Pitt beats Clemson today, is that the biggest shocker of the entire season?
Probably. I mean, Pitt, with the way Pitt's played this year, coming off of a loss to Miami last week, everybody's written in Clemson to the playoff. They've won three straight ACC championship games. This is, if not for Alabama, the most consistent team in the country. So off the top of my head, it'd probably be number one, yeah.
Chris Fedini from The Athletic. Chris, are you in favor of expanding the playoffs to 8 or no?
Yes, I think it should go to 8 with 5 Power 5 champions, top group of 5 champion, and 2 wild cards. That way the conference championships still matter, which means the regular season still matters. I think there's a legitimate concern about the physical well-being of the players with how many games that they play. With 13 plus 14, 15 we're up to now, they do a playoff in the FCS, but they play fewer regular season games.
Right.
So I think whether that's more scholarships or allowing redshirting players to play without burning their red shirt, which is kind of a new rule this year, I think any way you can take some of that burden off, some of that physical burden off the players, is necessary as well if you do expand the playoff.
And in the end, does Alabama win it all?
Yes, I can never bet against them because more often than not, it's not going to happen. I think about halfway through the year, even before then, I was starting to wonder if this Alabama team would end up viewed as one of the greatest teams of all time. And nothing has changed my thoughts of that since then. They've won every game by 20 points. One of the most dominant regular seasons we've ever seen. And if they continue like that and finish it off, they'll certainly have a case.
Do you think Tua is going to be a really good NFL quarterback eventually?
That's hard to say. I mean, I can't. I'm not a scout. I'm not a talent evaluator, but if you watch him play, and if you haven't watched Alabama play because they've been in so many blowouts, watch him today against Georgia. Look at the accuracy on some of these throws. He is the real deal. For years, we always wondered, how would Alabama look if they actually had a good quarterback? Now they finally have that, and he is remarkable, the numbers he's put up this season. And he's only a sophomore, so still a lot of ways to go with him.
And your thoughts on Mel Tucker getting the job at Colorado?
You know, he interviewed for Tennessee last year and impressed. It's an interesting fit over there at Colorado. We'll have to see who he brings in on offensive coordinator, what kind of offense he wants to run and stuff like that. But he's done a really good job at Georgia in his time there. And there's no reason to think he can't do a good job at Colorado.
Chris, appreciate the time, man. Happy holidays. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.